True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Rhythm, you throw in the interception, pick six by Bud Clark. Comfortable 13-point lead. And in my opinion, the way that first half went, it's a big drive for the North Carolina defense.
That was the Capital One rewarding performance, and this is a rewarding run as Gavorian Barnes is out the gate, inside the 30, to the 10. Touchdown TCU, 75 yards and no flags.
Ooh, a bad opening night for Bill Belichick. He had some company from over the weekend, that's for sure, but his debut as a college coach was awful. Good morning, everybody. College football's week one is in the books. Today, the day after Labor Day, means the NFL's first week is just a few days away. The day after Labor Day marks the beginning of what we call in sports talk radio high season. High season is football season, primarily the NFL season, which gets underway Thursday night in Philadelphia and will continue for the next 21 weeks uninterrupted before we get a week off between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl. It is, for most of us, the best five-plus months of the sports calendar. There's a routine. There's a rhythm to football season. Kids are back in school. Everybody's back at work. And, of course, football every weekend and many week nights as well. It goes quickly, you know, from the dying September dog days of summer to those cool, leaf-changing, beautiful fall-autumn days in October, to the beginning of holiday season and Thursday, to the height of holiday season when it gets colder, and it seems like football is on almost every day and every night. Savor it, boys and girls. This time of year is the best. The conversations we have are so much better when there are real games to talk about. The world of hypothetical, it's fun to talk about draft picks and who looked good in training camp practices, but this is so much better. And our team is in a place, it finds itself in a place where it has not been in a long, long time. I've said it a few times over the last few months. This is the most anticipated, well, let me change that. It's the highest expectation season in 25 years. It's probably the most anticipated season since 2012, maybe 2013, maybe 2004, Joe Gibbs's first year back. But in terms of expectations for this team, they haven't been higher than they are this year since 2000. I went and looked this up over the weekend. Per Pro Football Reference, Washington's preseason Super Bowl odds in the year 2000 were the second shortest odds behind the defending champion St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf after they won the Super Bowl for the first time in 99. The Rams were plus 300 to win the Super Bowl, the favorite in 2000. Washington, the Redskins, were plus 350, the second pick to win the Super Bowl. And then there was a drop-off. Washington's over-under on wins that year, 11.5. 11.5. Dion was our skin. Bruce Smith was a Redskin. You had a team coming off a division-winning championship in 1999, off a playoff win over Detroit, and a near-divisional round win in Tampa. Of course, the 2000 season did not live up to the expectations. We found out pretty quickly that Dan Snyder was going to be an interesting owner, a different owner, and perhaps a bad owner. The fantasy football offseason didn't really pay off. He was putting vanilla ice cream on Mike Nolan's defense to indicate how soft he thought the defense was. He was ripping Norv in front of the team in locker rooms after games, and the team went 8-8, and Norv got fired before that season ended. Now, this year's odds in what I would call the highest expectation season since 2000 are not what they were in 2000, but Washington currently with the 8th best odds in the league to win the Super Bowl, and an over-under win total of 9.5. Clearly the best odds and the best over-under win total they've had since 2000. The expectations, the anticipation are all there for this season. And let's face it, the ownership change had a lot to do with it 2 years ago, because it gave us a chance to root for a franchise without suspending true, legitimate, you know, realistic belief, because that's what you had to do during the Snyder years. But it didn't guarantee the ownership change that the team would ever create a sustained run. But I feel like, and I think many of you feel the same, we're at the beginning of a sustained run. And that's because Washington got good fortune. They had number two overall, and a generational talent was sitting there at number two at the most important position on the field. Jaden Daniels, more than anybody else, is the reason that we're not just, you know, here at the beginning of a season that has high anticipation and the most expectations in 25 years. It feels like this is a continuation of what got started last year and will continue, that this is a run. You know, the league is designed for teams to have a chance at short runs, long runs. Washington avoided that for 24 years. It's really, you know, the biggest indictment, and I've mentioned this many times, that Snyder's greatest accomplishment, if you can even describe it that way, is that it was total destruction laid to this incredible franchise during a time in which the league was designed to prevent it from happening. That's why I've said many times over the last 10 years at least, this franchise under Dan Snyder should be a case study at Harvard Business School, Wharton. You know, they should look at what happened here, because it's hard to pull off. Only two back-to-back winning season scenarios during the last 33 years, 96-97 and then 2015-2016, no back-to-back playoff seasons since the glory years when they went back-to-back-to-back in 90, 91, and 92. The franchise is a complete 180 in 2 years from what it was. And Snyder's departure is a major reason for that. But the reason that this feels like the beginning of something that is sustainable year in and year out is because they had an opportunity to draft Jaden Daniels. I cannot wait to watch him in this upcoming season. The number of potential big spots on the schedule. You know, week one, it's the Giants. Okay, it doesn't feel like a massive game, but Fox's number one crew will be there. Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady, with Tom Rinaldi and Aaron Andrews on the field. Week two is a short week leading into the first Amazon Prime game of the year on Thursday night. Who did they want? They wanted Jaden Daniels, and they'll get him against the Packers and Micah Parsons. Week three, the Raiders. Week four, the Falcons. Then week five, another highlighted 4:25 in the afternoon spot against the Chargers in L.A. And then how about Monday night, the rematch of the Hail Mary game from a year ago. Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels, round two on Monday Night Football, October 13th. You get an incredible stretch of back-to-back road games against the Cowboys at 4:25 in the prime Fox spot. And then a Monday nighter at Arrowhead. You tell me if both teams are good and Jaden's playing well and Mahomes is playing well, this isn't going to be one of the highest rated, most watched games of the season. Then you get a Sunday nighter against Seattle, and then how about Detroit coming into town November 9th for a rematch of the divisional playoff game that they got crushed at home as the one seed in. You don't think revenge will be on their minds when they step into the snake pit known as Northwest Field on November 9th at 4:25? Then how about a little trip to Madrid for a Sunday morning game against the Dolphins before coming back for a Sunday nighter against Bo Nix, Sean Payton, and the Denver Broncos. And then we get into December at Minnesota. Don't know what Minnesota will be this year. At the Giants. And then two of the final three against the Philadelphia Eagles. At home on a Saturday, December 20th. Then they're home against the Cowboys on Christmas Day before finishing up at the Link against the Eagles. God, I hope we get to that closing stretch. And the Eagles and Washington are both sitting there at like 11-4 or 11-3. And those two games decide not only a division title, but a one seed. It is quite the journey. This time of year is something else. Not to mention when it's all over, for the first time in how long, there is an expectation that when the regular season ends, there's more football to be played for our team. I think this is a playoff team. I think even if they're not significantly improved on defense, it's a playoff team. I think they should be better on offense. They improved their offensive line. They added another weapon to the array that they have, which includes Terry McLaurin and a very dependable, rejuvenated Zach Ertz. We'll see what the backfield looks like. I love Austin Eckler. I thought Austin Eckler last year, when healthy, this was a real dynamic offensive football team, and without him, they were. We'll see what the rookie can do. We'll see what Rodriguez looks like. And there's no reason to subscribe to the theory that Jaden Daniels will have a sophomore slump season. That implies that somehow you identified flaws that other teams will identify and somehow take advantage of. I had Dan Quinn on my podcast last week. You're going to hear it at 11 a.m. One of the questions I asked him was about this narrative. Hey, defensive coordinators have a whole offseason to figure out Jaden Daniels. Is that a real thing? He answered it. He actually talked about it in detail. You'll hear it at 11 a.m. when Dan Quinn is on the show. I don't see anybody figuring out Jaden Daniels. Just like nobody figured out the read option. Remember that in 2012 with RG3? Oh, give defensive coordinators an offseason and that thing will be done like the Wildcat. It's a fad. More teams than ever line up the quarterback in a dual threat offense. Man, something to be fired up about. This team, this season, the games that are ahead, high-profile spots, high-exposure spots, football season. Best time of the year. I got this from Derek. Derek wrote, Kevin, this is crazy. We, as in Washington, have the highest number of transplants in the NFL. Only 42% of our roster began their career here in Washington, making us the only team in the league below 50%. The next closest team is the Dolphins at 51%. So Derek is, I'm assuming, citing something that is out there that was some sort of study. He didn't mention who did it. But it sounds a little low, but not crazy to me, that 42% of the roster began their career here, 58% of it somewhere else. That means that 42% was drafted or signed as an undrafted free agent here. Everybody else came via free agency, waiver wire, you know, or a trade. He writes, it just shows how many draft picks and developmental opportunities were wasted during the Ron Rivera and Dan Snyder era. Now under new management, Washington is starting fresh, but the numbers highlight how much damage was done in the past. I pulled up the quote from Ron Rivera 2 years ago, almost to the day, when John Keim wrote a story about the upcoming season, in which the context for it, if you recall 2 years ago, was that with new ownership and no time to make any significant football changes, the season was a lame duck season for Ron Rivera and his staff. And remember, too, part of the context is that Ron Rivera had somehow decided to basically, you know, hang his whole season on Sam Howell's shoulders, his whole future as a head coach, because of some meaningless end-of-season game in 2022. It was a wing and a prayer, but he was going with it. Here was the quote 2 years ago, almost to the day, from Ron Rivera in John Keim's ESPN.com story. Quote, if we go 8-8-1 this year, and he, Harris, fires me, and next year they win the division, and 40 of the 53 players we drafted, and it's the same quarterback, I'm vindicated. Send me my Super Bowl ring. Man, that seemed awfully presumptuous and delusional, really, at the time. Whew, it looks so bad after the fact. They did get, almost immediately, within, you know, spitting distance of the Super Bowl, 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game. But it was not that quarterback. It was a different quarterback who was much different than Sam Howell. And based on my math, the playoff games against Detroit and Philadelphia, 17 of the 53 players, not 40, 17 of the 53 players on the roster were here with Ron. One thing is for sure, he was not a general manager, nor was really the group of people around him at the time. All right. Thank you for that, Derek. Yeah, that kind of reflects the challenge that Adam Peters and company have had here in the first 2 years, you know, developing a roster. That's why we saw so many changes, but so many short-term changes contractually. We got that situation again this year. There are going to be many opportunities for this roster to turn over again before 2026, but probably more and more the players that they pick will be a big part of the future. They got the most important pick, right? That is for sure. All right, when we come back, Micah Parsons got traded after the last time I was on radio last week, which was last Wednesday. So I do want to talk about it, but I want to use it as a way to get into a discussion about the NFC East. Micah Parsons, I think last year, was my number one player in the NFC East. He's not in the NFC East any longer. By the way, there are some questions about his health now as he's getting ready to potentially suit up for the Packers. We'll discuss that next. A little bit about the college football weekend, including Maryland's win on Saturday against Florida Atlantic, which included the debut of freshman star quarterback Malik Washington. Busy day, busy week. We're going to have picks all week long. Max and I will make our season picks, divisions, records, playoff teams, Super Bowl participants. We'll certainly have our Skins season prediction, give you guys a chance to weigh in on all of that. Best week of the year leading into the first NFL week of the season. By the way, the smell test, put it out on my podcast on Friday. 4-0 over the weekend, 5-1 overall for the first college football week that included Thursday night. Don't get chesty with it because it is a roller coaster during the course of the year. All right, Kevin Ciancio, the Team 980, theteam980.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach Berman is a senior writer at The Athletic. He covers the Eagles and the NFL. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at ZBerm, B-E-R-M. Zach, thanks so much for making time for us today. The Eagles open up tomorrow night as the defending champions at home against the Cowboys. By the way, guys, that line keeps climbing. It's up to 8.5 from 7 this time last week. Zach, one of the questions we are wondering here, and we've talked a lot about it over the summer through training camp and now even as we approach week one, is has Washington closed the gap at all on Philadelphia? I'm not sure you've thought about it from Washington's perspective, but I'd like your reaction and answer to that if you have one.
No, I frankly don't think Washington has closed the gap, right? I respect what Washington did last season, and I think, too, though, you look at the way the Eagles played in the championship game. I see some of the moves Washington made this offseason. They're an older team. They're an experienced team. Obviously, the schedule's more difficult. There's things, whether it's injury variance or, you know, fourth down efficiency, late game situations that I'm curious to see how sticky it is year to year. But I look at the Eagles. They've made two of the last three Super Bowls. They have lost key players, but they have blue chip talent on both sides of the ball. And, you know, they're going to be tough games because Washington's a good team. But I don't think the Eagles have taken a step back per se.
All right, let's talk about what they've lost, what they've gained. You know, start on offense. What did they lose? What did they gain?
Well, they're returning 10 of 11 starters. So what they've lost was right guard Mekhi Becton in the starting lineup. And, you know, Tyler Steen, who was a former third-round pick, has been with the team the past 2 years. He's stepping in now as the starter. What they gain is honestly, they're in their prime, a lot of these players, right? We've got Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. These are guys who are kind of in the primes of their careers right now. They have the best offensive line in the NFL. Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, primes of the, and Cam Jurgens, primes of their career. You know, Lane Johnson, the right tackle, is a future Hall of Famer. Now, I should note that they lost offensive coordinator Kellen Moore.
Yes.
They have another internal promotion with Kevin Petullo, who's been with the Eagles since Nick Sirianni arrived in 2021. So there's a lot of continuity on the offensive side of the ball. I think the question is more how it evolves relative to how they played last year.
Tell me about the coordinator switch, because when it went from Shane Steichen to Brian Johnson, who's on our staff now, there were issues with protection. There were issues offensively that never necessarily got ironed out. So is there any concern that Kellen Moore is gone and he has and Jalen in that offense will have a new coordinator this year?
It's always something you're mindful of, and you know, I'll say in covering Brian Johnson, knowing Brian Johnson, Brian Johnson's a sharp guy, good coach, and I think he should get another chance to be a coordinator. I don't put 2023 on him per se. I think there were a lot of dynamics there coming off the Super Bowl season, the Super Bowl loss, and there were a lot of different ideas about how the offense should function then. I think it's a different situation now given the way the Eagles played last year. I think, you know, Jalen Hurts is in a better spot right now. I think obviously the, you know, Saquon Barkley, you know, you have AJ, you have Devontae. If they stay healthy, I don't have much concern about the Eagles offensively.
Saquon Barkley's had an issue, you know, going year to year with
sure.
health, and last year obviously was a heavy, heavy workload year. 345 carries, another, you know, 33 receptions, and he was tremendous. I'm curious, if they lost Saquon Barkley, not for the season, but for several games, I'm actually a big Will Shipley fan, and I'm wondering if you think Philadelphia would drop off significantly.
Yeah, I mean, Saquon Barkley's coming off the best season a running back's ever had in NFL history, I'd say, right? If you just look at the numbers, the end result, the week-to-week consistency. So there would be a drop-off. Now, Will Shipley has shown some promise. Frankly, I think what you'd probably see more is more of the passing game. And the Eagles have perhaps the best wide receiver combination in the NFL, if not the best, one of the top three. So I don't think they would be giving Will Shipley the workload that Saquon Barkley has. But it is something to be mindful of, is that Saquon had nearly 500 touches last year when you combine the regular season and the postseason. And we'll need to see how he looks this season. If he stays healthy, the consistency there, the way defenses attack him. But that's the thing about the Eagles, is that they're not one dimensional, right? And you saw that in the Super Bowl when the Chiefs tried to bottle up Saquon Barkley. Jalen Hurts has one of the best games of his career. And, you know, I expect the Eagles to pass the ball more this year. So, yeah, to answer the question succinctly, there is a drop-off going to Will Shipley, but I don't think it's a one-for-one swap. I think the way the offense functions would be different.
You know, a lot of the offseason, and a lot of this do this, you know, I'm guilty of it too. You just take a lot of these, you know, lists and rankings to come up with content during, you know, June and July and August. And, you know, a common, you know, theme to every offseason is quarterback rankings and quarterback tiers. And Jalen's definitely one of those guys that gets, you know, he's not everybody's cup of tea, but others love him. I've always said, I don't know if I'd want him over our guy, to be honest with you, but I don't think anybody's played better in the Eagles' biggest games over the last few years than Jalen Hurts. He seems to have that clutch gene. How do you view Jalen Hurts in the context of the other really good quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah, Jalen's in the winner's circle quite a bit, right? He's been in the Super Bowl two of the past 3 years. He's made the playoffs all 4 years. He's been a starting quarterback. He was second in MVP voting, you know, 2 years ago, right? So the way I see it is that the statistics aren't what some of the other quarterbacks have, right? And look, I can't take anything away from Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. That would be my top four. But I would put Jalen Hurts five there. And I think if you look at the 2022 season, it was outstanding. 2023 was a step back in terms of the turnovers. The offense was different in 2024, but there's a reason why this guy consistently wins. I think part of the, I don't want to say criticism of him, but skepticism of him is that he has a great supporting cast around him. And there's this idea that he's carried by the offense rather than carrying the offense. But, you know, this is something that I've spoken to a lot of people in the building about, Nick Sirianni included, is that you look at it, you know, Joe Montana had Jerry Rice, right? I mean, Tom Brady, his best years came with Randy Moss, Rob Gronkowski, you know? Yep. Great players typically play with great players. And I don't know if it's the chicken or the egg there, but what I do know is that Jalen Hurts wins an awful lot. And for you to be in two of three Super Bowls, winning one of them, being a potential game-winning drive away from another, it's hard to look at it and say that that Jalen's not one of the top five, six quarterbacks in the league.
All right, let's shift it to defense. Zach Berman from The Athletic joining us. He's a senior NFL writer covering the Eagles and the rest of the league as well. Defensively, what did they lose? What did they gain?
Yeah, I mean, they lost key players on the defensive line and in the secondary. They lost Josh Sweat. They lost Milton Williams. Brandon Graham retired. They traded Bryce Huff. In the secondary, they lost Darius Slay. They lost C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They lost Davante Maddox, right? So this defense is going to look different. And, you know, what they kept is Vic Fangio, who, you know, might be the best defensive coordinator in the league or certainly up there. Yep. And they have blue-chip players on all three levels. They have Jalen Carter on the defensive line. They have Zach Bond at linebacker. They have Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean in the secondary. Now, the question is, how do they replace some of those other spots? And I would be less worried about the defensive front. They're trying to figure out the second cornerback spot, second safety spot. There's some ambiguity there. I want to see how consistent the edge rushers are. But, you know, if you look at this roster and they only have two starters, 25 years old. Right. So they have a young team, but there's a lot of players returning. There really aren't that many new faces here per se. Right. Jahad Campbell at linebacker, Dory Jackson at corner. But this is a team that's has drafted mainly the defensive side of the ball the past few years, and those guys are, you know, stepping into bigger roles this year.
Tell me real quickly about Jahad Campbell. We've heard a lot about the excitement over him and maybe, you know, sooner rather than later in terms of major contribution.
Yeah, he just looks different. He moves different. The athletic ability is off the charts. You know, there's some refinement that needs to come with the game, but you don't find guys like that too often at that position. It's clear the upside. It's clear the talent. He dropped in the draft, you know, because of health questions in large part. But, you know, the Eagles are confident that he's going to stay or that he's going to be healthy. He's been healthy throughout the summer. So we'll see how that goes. But in terms of the talent, he just looks different. And, you know, the Eagles haven't had a guy like that in a long time.
N'Kobe Dean's going to miss, I think, the first few games minimum. He did not play in the NFC Championship game, and he had been playing well. Real quickly, defensively, I said the other day that we ranked the best pound-for-pound players, not necessarily impact or importance. I think Jalen Carter is the best player in the division. And am I nuts?
You're not nuts. You know, he's certainly one of the most talented, right? And it's interesting talking to people and say he's just kind of scratching the surface on his development. And he's going into year three. He's an absolute force. You saw what he did against Washington, frankly, when the Eagles played Washington up in Philly last year, the way he blew up that fourth down play. I thought that was the key play in the game. You saw what he did against the Rams in the postseason. You saw what he did against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. He's an absolute force. He's going to become one of the great defensive linemen in the league. The guy he reminds me of is Ndamukong Suh, and he's on that trajectory. He doesn't really have the counting stats, but if you talk to opposing offensive linemen, you watch the games, he's a special player.
If I were to tell you the Eagles didn't win the division, what would be the number one reason why it didn't happen?
Injuries, right? And I really think that's what it is that they have so much blue chip talent, right? I mean, I know the top 100 just came out on NFL Network. The Eagles had the most players in that group, and I don't think it was particularly close, right? I mean, I think by like two or three players more than the next team. But there's a drop off at some key spots. So if they get banged up at offensive tackle, if they get banged up at corner, if they get banged up, you know, at wide receiver, there's a drop off at some key spots, and you know, even a running back, and I didn't even mention quarterback, right? So I think what would hold the Eagles back this year would be injuries.
Last one. Any chance they've got, you know, the Super Bowl hangover year, a bit overconfident, a bit complacent?
I don't think complacency or overconfidence is the issue. I think if they don't make it back, it's because it's hard to get to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, there's a reason why, you know, if you look at the math, you look at the amount of teams that make it, it's difficult to get back. It's difficult to repeat. Teams are going to come after them. They're going to have to evolve. But I don't think it'll be because of complacency or because of some type of Super Bowl hangover. I just think that, you know, they got a target on their back, and you know, teams are coming after them this year.
Zach, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the season.
You got it. Thank you.
Zach Berman, everybody, covers the Eagles for The Athletic. Zach does not think Washington has closed the gap on the Eagles. Do you? Yes or no? Why or why not? 301-230-0980. I'll give you my answer when we come back. Did Washington close the gap on the Eagles? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com. All right, we did our AFC predictions yesterday on the show. I had the Chiefs over the Steelers in the AFC Championship game. Max had the Ravens over the Bills in the AFC Championship game. Now we get to our NFC picks. We're going to pick the division winners, the three wild cards. We'll give you an overperforming team and an underperforming team and a bold prediction for the NFC. I'll go first. I've got Washington winning the NFC East. I'll give you my final predicted record on tomorrow's show, but I think Washington wins the NFC East, and I think the trend of now coming up on 20 years of not a repeat division winner continues. I've got Green Bay winning the NFC North. I've got Tampa Bay winning the NFC South, and I've got the 49ers winning the NFC West. Very chalky. Usually when I do this every year, I've got two or three shockers. I don't have that this year in the AFC. You know, I gave you Pittsburgh as a team that I thought would overperform. Here, you know, Washington, I guess, is not a chalk pick to win the division, but is definitely a chalk pick to make the playoffs. My wild card teams in order: Philly, Rams, Lions. So I'll just tell you that I've got San Francisco as the one seed in the NFC, Green Bay as the two, Washington as the three, Tampa as the four, Philly five, Rams six, Lions seven. Max, your division winners and wild cards.
All right, so coming out of the NFC South and taking the one seed, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm high on them this year. I really love the additions of Emeka Ekpuka in the offseason. I still think Mike Evans has got something. And then Bucky Irving is just going to go absolutely crazy. My two seed, the Washington Commanders out of the NFC East. They win the division.
We both have them winning the division.
The pattern's going to continue. It's going to go Dallas, Philly, Washington. And it's going to be like that forever. Right, Kevin?
I hope not. I hope we get Washington. That would be nice.
Good point. That would be nice. But down to my wild card teams, I have the Eagles.
Well, you didn't give me your North and West winner first.
Oh, my apologies. The Lions are coming out of the NFC North. I think they. I think the lack of continuity is overblown. I think that the coordinators that they're bringing in, they were bred from this system. They know this system well. I don't think the turnover is going to affect them too much. I think they're going to win the NFC North. And then the NFC West, I have the San Francisco 49ers. I am not sold on the Rams, especially because of Matthew Stafford. So in my wild card in order, I have the Eagles coming in the wild card, the Packers making it in the wild card. And then this is the third one. I've got a little conundrum here. I don't really know kind of what my read's going to be. It is the Rams at the moment, but if Matthew Stafford's back falls off the bone like a pork shoulder, then I think I've got the Cardinals coming out of the with that wild card spot. So
is that your pick, the Cards?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cards because I don't believe.
Well, that's certainly. That would be an upset if the Cardinals make the playoffs. All right,
this is the proper champ year for Gannon.
You've got Tampa 1, Washington 2, Detroit 3, San Francisco 4, the Eagles 5, Packers 6, and Arizona 7. What's
correct.
Your NFC championship matchup?
My championship matchup is the Washington Commanders. They will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a rematch of the NFC wildcard game from this previous year.
Wow. NFC title game, Washington at Tampa Bay. My NFC championship game, Washington, even though they're the 3 seed, I've got them, winning a week 1 game over the Rams, winning in the divisional round at Lambeau, and then going and playing San Francisco in Santa Clara 2 weeks before the Super Bowl is hosted in Santa Clara. We both have Washington in the NFC championship game on the road. So, who is your NFC champion?
My NFC champion is going to be none other than the Washington Commanders.
Oh, my God.
I am high, Kevin.
What are we doing
I'm
here?
I'm huffing Ashburn syndrome. Inject
I
it into
have
my
Washington
veins.
Going to San Francisco and winning and advancing to Super Bowl 60.
I love it, baby.
I mean, look, for years, it was like, if I got them to 8-8, that was like a big deal. Last year, I was out there on a limb, tongue-in-cheek in part, but had them at 10-7 and making the postseason. I was high on Jaden and really was going out on a limb. I didn't think what would happened. This year, if they are as good as I think they could be offensively in a quarterback, I've got Washington with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And by the way, in my scenario, they play the NFC title game in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium.
No
and
travel.
Then 2 weeks later, they play the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium. You've got a Baltimore Washington Super Bowl. I have a Washington Kansas City Super Bowl. We will give you tomorrow's show our Super Bowl winner. All right. I know that there are people like, come on, stop. I actually really feel like this team is right there in the NFC with a chance. Philadelphia's got the best roster. Washington's got the best quarterback. All right. Underperforming team in the NFC for me, it's actually kind of a tie between Minnesota and Detroit, because I think Detroit will be the 7 seed, but they'll make the postseason. So I'll go with Minnesota as my underperformer. My overperformer, based on Washington being in the Super Bowl, would be Washington. But I'll give you one other one. I think Carolina is going to be better than people think this year. I think the Giants potentially are better than people think as well. But I'll go with Carolina as my overperforming team. And then my bold NFC prediction is that Tyson Badgett from Shepherd College in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, starts games in Chicago, not because of injury, but because of performance with Caleb Williams. That's my bold NFC
prediction.
That's awesome. I love that. What's your underperformer, overperformer, bold prediction?
So the bold prediction, I'm still kind of racking my brain around. I don't really know where I'm going to go, but the overperformer, you already mentioned the Giants. They are in that category for me. I think that they're going to put it together at least for a little bit this year. They'll have at least one stretch of games where they kind of look competent. And then on the other side, and Brian's going to be really happy to hear this, or mad, depending on, you know, my prognosticating skills, but the Dallas Cowboys, I think, are going to overperform expectations this year. So I think the NFC Beast is going to be one hell of a fight coming down the stretch.
So wait a minute. You've got two overperformers. Who's your number one overperformer?
My number one would be the Giants, because I think...
Okay, who's your underperformer?
My underperformer, again, depends on Matthew Stafford's health. It could be the Rams, but it's also, for me, going to be... I think the Seahawks are just not going to be...
Okay.
That competitive.
Give me your bold NFC prediction.
My bold prediction was the Commanders Bucks rematch in the NFC Championship, because I just think that the Bucks are going to be so high. I think Bucky Irving has a shot at Offensive Player of the Year. So let's go with that. My bold prediction this year.
Okay. Bucky Irving, Offensive Player of the Year.
Yep. That's it.
Okay. There you go. We've given you our AFC and NFC predictions for the season, and we both have Washington representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. That is a first for me, no doubt. All right, Michael Phillips will join us next. We'll talk Washington and the matchup against the Giants on Sunday. We'll get his season prediction as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live. If you want to download the Odyssey app, you can take us wherever you want and listen to us whenever you want. And you can also watch us on the Team 980's YouTube channel. Hit the like button and hit the subscribe button when you get there. And all of our NFL talk on this show is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 1 matchup between Detroit and Green Bay, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks, the three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
You, how Washington beats the Giants on Sunday. Here is the first Washington wins if. My keys to a win Sunday. Said this forever, that week ones are really difficult. You don't get any sense, truly, of what a team is going to be from the offseason or from the summer. What you do have to rely on is what you saw last year. And for us last year, it was like, we have no idea what we're going to see. We've got a new coaching staff. We've got a massive roster overhaul. Even though I think some of us were very optimistic about the quarterback, no one saw what the quarterback would become in his first season, but he didn't start off that way. You know, he rushed 16 times for 88 yards. His eyes came off down the field as he was moving around. It was his first NFL game. I'll tell you who had a great second NFL game for the Giants last year was Malik Nabers until the very end. Week ones are difficult. I don't take seriously the results from week one. I think most coaches would tell you it takes several games to figure out what you really are. But when you only play 17, they all matter significantly. So here's my first stab at keys to a win. I'm harping on last year. Number one, this was number one probably in, I don't know, of the regular season games, 10 of the 17 regular season games. Washington wins if they stop the run. We will see, you know, in Sunday's opener, at least signs if they have improved defensively against the run. They got hurt on the edges last year, more so than anything else, but it wasn't just that exclusively. Teams are going to try to keep Jaden and Washington's offense off the field by staying on the field. The number one key for the Giants, if you're up in New York doing this show today, is you got to keep possession of the football. You've got to make your best defense be your offense. And the Giants have a good defense. They have an excellent defense. But the best defense against Washington will be the opposing offense, holding onto the football, shortening the game, lowering the possession count. Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, and that Giant O-line versus Kinlaw, Payne, Wise, Armstrong, Luvu, Wagner. That's a huge key to Sunday. Can they stop the run without adding to the box consistently? Brian Daboll is a respected offensive coach and play caller. You know, Daboll, I went back and looked at this last year in the two games against Washington and against Joe Witt Jr.'s defense. The Giants were 10 for 19 on third downs. That's really good. They were 3 for 4 on fourth downs against Washington. They stayed on the field against Washington's defense. By the way, their only miss on fourth down was in week two when Malik Nabers dropped that fourth and five. The Giants, I am expecting, will be an aggressive team on Sunday. They will be a four-down team a lot of the time on Sunday. There's no reason they shouldn't be. You know, it is going to be painful to punt against Washington this year, knowing that the chances of getting Jaden and the offense off the field when they get onto the field are even money at best. They're going to score 45% of the time on their drives. That's a high rate, 50% of the time. Who knows? They didn't punt in week two against the Giants last year. Now, unfortunately, they only kicked field goals. But the Giants are going to be a four-down team Sunday. They're going to try to keep the football at any cost, and a big part of it will be testing Washington's ability to stop the run. Did they improve in that area? We get our first legitimate, nothing we've seen up until Sunday matters. We'll get our first legitimate opportunity to see if the additions in the offseason, if maybe scheme-related stuff matters. By the way, that dovetails into number two. Number two is, it's something that Dan Quinn said with me last week, and you've heard him harp on this. They have got to tackle better than they tackled last year. They have to be a much better tackling team this year in terms of consistency. You know, that was something he talked about, that they were in position. They didn't get guys to the ground. They got to get guys to the ground. Tackling is a key to Sunday's game if they're going to win. Number three, get Russell Wilson off his mark. Wilson's not the same quarterback that he was several years ago. He's not the playmaker that he once was, the off-schedule quarterback. Really, that's all he was in Seattle. His biggest plays were off-schedule because he actually, at his height, had a difficult time in the pocket delivering consistently. Pressure to get him off his mark, to get him out of his rhythm, won't end well for him or the Giant offense. Andrew Thomas's availability will be huge for them, their starting tackle. But regardless of whether or not he plays, passing downs in particular, you've got to get Russell Wilson to look to 2 and 3 off his mark, and then he struggles. Number four, by the way, I'm focused on defense right now. I just don't have a lot of concerns offensively against a very good defensive team, mind you. Number four, Malik Nabers. I don't know what the answer is, but they've got to have an answer to one of the true superstar talents in the game. 109 catches as a rookie, a rookie NFL record. 109 with DeVito and, I mean, Daniel Jones and Drew Locke, and I'm missing somebody. I mean, bad quarterback play, and yet this dude and the separation he got was good enough for 109 receptions in his rookie year. So how do you combat a talent like Malik Nabers? That's a good question. I just know that they can't let him take the game over. He is one of those receivers capable of taking over a game and dominating a football game. Can't let him do that. I don't have the answer because I haven't seen what Lattimore looks like in a real game this year. I've never seen Trey Amos in a real NFL game. It's going to be interesting. We're going to learn a lot because they've got a superstar receiver on the other side of the field in this opener about how Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn, what they think about their secondary. Is Lattimore given star coverage on Malik Nabers, or do they move Lattimore, put Amos on him, and give him help, and give him bracket coverage, and double Malik Nabers? Maybe Amos is who some people have said he is, and they give Amos the star coverage. That's going to be a very interesting thing to watch. What does Washington do defensively against Malik Nabers? It'll give us great insight as to what they think about their cornerback room. Number five on Washington wins if. This is, you know, on the other side of the football. Dexter Lawrence can wreck a game. He's that good. Abdul Carter apparently looks the part. We'll see him in a real game for the first time. We'll see him against the tackles Washington puts out there. And they've got a really good one in Tunsil if that ends up being a matchup. But you've got two talents defensively. Giants are really good defensively. Talent-wise, they really are. This is going to be what, if the Giants end up being better than people think they'll be this year, and I'm one of those people who believes that, it's going to be more likely than not that they're outstanding on defense and that Abdul Carter is the real deal. I mean, the combination of Carter outside and Lawrence inside, that is something you have to account for week in and week out. I think Washington does have in their quarterback, you know, a get out of jail cheat code, you know, for when you aren't able to protect him. But you can't let Lawrence and Abdul Carter be super disruptive in this game. Next up, I think takeaways are going to be a big number to look at the end of the year, and it'll probably be the difference between 10-7 wild card and 11-6, 12-5 division title. You know, I pointed this out last week, but only six teams had fewer takeaways last year than Washington. None of those teams were playoff teams. Only one team had as many or as few takeaways as Washington had, 17, and made the playoffs. That was Baltimore. What did both teams have in common? Cheat codes at quarterback. Every other team that made the postseason, the other 12 teams, averaged 26 takeaways for the year. Washington's got to do what we thought they would do because that's what Quinn and Witt Jr. and Dallas's defense sort of thrived on, and that is takeaways. Quinn talked about tackling and takeaways, tackling and takeaways. By the way, good tackling sometimes increases the possibility of takeaways. But this is going to be, I think, the difference this year, ultimately, in how we view the defense and the team's final record in the position that they're put in going into the postseason. Are they a 10-7 wild card needing to win three road games to get to the Super Bowl again? Or were they on the 28-29 takeaway bus, you know, plus double-digit turnover margin, and did they go 12-5 or 13-4, and they're going to be hosting at least one game, if not two? That, by the way, Sunday will be huge because, to me, even in the takeaway category, in the turnover margin category, Washington wins a tight game plus anything, and they probably win in a double-digit game, and minus, and the Giants have a chance. That's kind of what I have. I have a few other notes. You know, I'm interested to see if this year, from a return standpoint, they can flip the field a few more times than they did last year. I think special teams, they were excellent in covering kicks, with the exception of the Dallas game at home. Kevontae Turpin, you know, with the exception of that game, they were excellent. You know, Quinn talked all last season and even in the offseason about how they wanted to be a physical team, and that's why they kicked and let their kick coverage team set the tone in these football games. It'll be interesting to see where they are on the return front. Coverage-wise, outstanding last year. Returns, what is Jalen Lane as a returner? There were people out there that were super excited that Jalen Lane was available, not because they thought he would be a great addition to the wide receiver room. There was some hope there, but on day one, that he would be a game changer as a punt returner. We'll see on Sunday if that is the case. All right, we'll have predictions on this game later on in the show. But there is your first Washington wins if of the season. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL. It is a no-bye week in week one. Nobody's off. Everybody's playing 16 games. We've already got one in the books. Max and I will go through the rest of them when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can watch us on the Team 980's YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Of course, I love clock management talk, and yet I can't even manage my own show. Chris Russell is going to jump on with us in 2 minutes to get his thoughts on the season and on Sunday. Max and I, over the last couple of days, made our NFL picks, and we got to our Super Bowl matchups, which, look, I understand I'm out on a limb. I think Max is too, but for the first time in two decades of doing this, I feel justified in going out on that limb and predicting great things for this team. I have Washington advancing to the Super Bowl, beating the San Francisco 49ers on the road to get to the Super Bowl to face the Kansas City Chiefs. Max has Washington going to Lambeau. No. Where did you have him going to Tampa and beating the Bucs on the road and making it to Super Bowl 60 against the Ravens? I will end it there. I'm picking the Chiefs to win Super Bowl 60 with, you know, the tomahawk chop and the whole thing going in Santa Clara on February 8th, 2026. I got the Chiefs as the Super Bowl winning team. It'll be their fourth straight trip to the Super Bowl. Amazing. And them beating Washington in their first trip to the Super Bowl since 1991. Who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
So before we started this segment, I had the Ravens, and then you picked the Chiefs. But I think there's something about this jersey that I have on. It's seeping into my system. It's in my bloodstream now, Kevin. I've flipped. The Washington Commanders are going to beat the Baltimore Ravens in the Super Bowl. The good guys are going to come out on top in the DMV, and we are going to be celebrating down Constitution Ave. Yeah, we're delusional.
This opens us up for major scrutiny, especially on social media.
That's fine.
Which I don't pay attention to, thankfully.
All right,
let's give our let's bring in Chris Russell, and we will save our Sunday predictions for the very end of the show. Look, you've been doing this now for a while as well. I mean, we've known each other for 15 years, every bit of it. And you know that over the years, we've all been incredibly critical and haven't had a lot to be excited about. I think this is the most anticipated, highest expectation season in forever. I feel justified, you know, reaching and giving a big pick like Washington going 11-6 and making it to the Super Bowl. A, do you think we're nuts? B, what is your season prediction if you haven't, you know, if you've done it, if you're saving it for your show? I should have asked you this.
No.
You know, you can tease it.
So here's what I have done. I have given out the top, the division winners, wild cards, the ranking of the seven playoff teams, and who I think will be the NFC champion. I have not actually predicted a Commanders season record, but I am more than happy to do it for you, being that a lot of people listen to your show and they don't listen to mine.
That's not true. How crazy do you think it is that I actually legitimately believe this team can make the Super Bowl?
So you are one of the most sharpest analytical minds that I know.
Oh, stop it.
No. Seriously, I say that in all deference, right? I mean, you think the game, we think slightly different on things, but you think the game from a layered contextual standpoint, I think just about as good, if not better, than certainly, you know, anybody in the market and anybody. So I know you're not just being flippant, just saying, hey, I'm a Commanders fan.
This is not for shtick.
Right, exactly.
This is not a bit.
So I genuinely know how you feel. And I listen to you every morning, so I know what you're fearful of. I know what you're, you know, excited about, all that. I don't think you're crazy at all. Now, do I exactly agree? No, I have them losing in the conference championship game at Lambeau Field to the Green Bay Packers.
That's pretty close to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, same spot as last year, but I think the path to this year's, again, projected conference championship loss, a little bit different, right? I don't think they win as many games on the last, but what you said this morning, and I think what you've said all along, is they should be better in some ways, so you don't have to necessarily pull out games. Now, what I worry about is not only the upgraded schedule, playing the two toughest divisions in football, the NFC North and the AFC West, number one. Technically more road games, even though the ninth road game is in Madrid and they'll have plenty of fans, whatever. That's still a tough trip to make. On top of that, I worry about these super, super short weeks. Not only the Sunday to Thursday, like we have coming up.
Yeah, their net rest days isn't good.
Yeah, but the Monday night to Sunday nonsense, couple of times. Another Thursday game, Christmas week. You know, now, yes, they play on Saturday against the Eagles that weekend, but still a short week, all of that. To me, I worry about that, not guys getting injured, but guys not being ready to play because their bodies are so beat up, especially later in the year. So that's why I have them ultimately not making the Super Bowl, but I do have them making a run, and ultimately I picked them as my sixth seed. So I didn't have them winning the division. I had the Eagles winning the division. Sixth seed, and look, it's really tough to go on the road and win in the playoffs, but we already proved that this cat can do it.
Yeah.
And you think they're better. I think they're better. I know you think they're better. I think they're better on defense than you think they are, but worry about
special
teams.
I'm just saying that I'm not sure yet. I'm hopeful. I'm not saying they're not. I just want to see it first.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I worry more about special teams. I am worried sick to death about, and I know nobody played, but kick return coverage was a major problem in the preseason. I know nobody played.
Yeah.
I understand that. But Matt Gay also, even sub 50, where he struggled plus 50, sub 50, he wasn't good in camp. He missed a 49-yarder. He missed, I want to say it was a 46-yarder against Cincinnati, or maybe it was Baltimore. I can't remember. One of the two.
I think in the first game against New England.
Well, that was, I think that was 49.
Oh, was it?
Against New England, but he missed another one. I believe it was 47 or 46, but I'd have to double check my notes on that.
Okay.
But I do worry about special teams.
I think you know, what you said, and we've talked about it here too, like there will be seasons with Jaden Daniels at quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a big projection, but it's not a major leap, in which we'll just, the team will be fighting just to get in.
Yeah.
And there will be a belief. There will be a belief that this team with this guy, if they just get in, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a rookie, he proved. Now, look, if they go 9-8 and miss this year, if they go 10-7 and get eliminated in the wild card round next year, and then all of a sudden in 2027, we're like, you know, that rookie season winning two on the road, maybe that was the aberration. But if it's not, getting in, they're going to have a chance, because the teams with the best quarterbacks always mm-hmm. have a chance. Remember last year, nobody wanted Cincinnati in the postseason because of Joe Burrow. Because yeah. of what he could do. As bad as that defense was, you talk to any of those playoff teams, it's like, we'd rather not see sure. them. And that'll be the case. So,
and everybody wanted Houston, and what did C.J. Stroud do against the Chargers?
Yeah, came back from, you know, an early deficit. Yeah. And by the way, almost beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah.
They were in that game at
yes,
Arrowhead.
They were. Yes, they
but
were.
I think it'll be one of those things where we're set up for year in and year out, believing that, hey, even if they just barely get in, you got a shot. And so we'll see. You got him as a sixth seed, and you yeah. got him in the NFC title game.
Yeah.
Max and I have them in the Super Bowl. Max has them winning the Super Bowl. What are the keys Sunday?
I'd love to get out there. I'd love to get out to the Bay Area.
Well, you're already
for Super
look,
Bowl 60.
Back to the NFC Championship game
yeah.
is for a lot of people a big leap.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What happens Sunday? What are the keys?
Let's start with stopping the run, which I think if there's a game this month that they're going to stop the run, it's this one. Because you got Jacobs, Gentry, and
Bijan
the next three
yeah.
weeks.
Yeah.
So you damn well better stop the run. And I think they've been pounded about it internally, externally, what have you. I think they'll show a little pride, bow up a little bit, you know, force Russell Wilson into 2nd-9, 2nd-10, 3rd-8, you know, what have you. Get home a couple of times. I think, I don't remember what your stance on this, but I think the pass rush is probably going to be as good as it was last year. Because Kinlaw, I remember he had like, what, 7.5 sacks with the Jets last year.
Yeah.
B, because of Vaughn, you know, he gives you 5, 6, 7 sacks, whatever it might be. And I think Jacob Martin is going to be a little bit of a secret sauce surprise.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a big secret sauce surprise, Dan Quinn. Secret sauce. I actually think that Ben Sinnott's going to be a contributor this year.
I heard you say that, and that's exactly what I said to Linnell yesterday. And that's what Logan Paulson didn't say big surprise, but Logan was basically like, look, I know it hasn't shown up in the box score. Ben Sinnott's way better than he was.
Oh, really? Yeah, Logan
yeah.
said that?
Yeah, yesterday on the show.
Yeah, so. I mean, early on, there were some things being said that they really were excited mm-hmm. about his offseason and what he would be. I think Ertz just is such a security blanket right now, but I think we're going to see Sinnott be a contributor
yep.
At some point during the season.
I agree.
All right, so let's get to our final score predictions. I'll go first, then Chris, then Max. I'm going Washington 30, the Giants 24. Ooh. I think this is going to be a competitive game, a high-scoring game. We're going to get a good look at, you know, the improvement against the run, if it's there or not. And my footnote is Matt Gay goes 3-for-3, Chris. 3-for-3 in the opener, so we don't have to talk about him next week.
Listen,
what's your final score
with a
footnote?
Yeah, I would love to be wrong. Here's my final score prediction. The Commanders win 20-17. My footnote is that we are going to be talking about Matt Gay. No, I will say game-sealing or game-changing interception by Marshawn Lattimore in coverage against Ooh. Malik Nabers.
That would be a hell of an ending. I can't see 20 points with this offense this year.
Unless
the other team just
the
dominates possession.
Yeah,
you know?
I have a healthy respect for the Giants pass rush.
I
know you do too.
I
but
do
also
too.
They have a
yeah.
revamped secondary. You know, remember the last couple of years
yeah.
we've been able to beat up on Deontay Banks, the Turk.
Adoree Jackson.
And Adoree Jackson.
Yeah.
Adoree is now getting beat up in Philadelphia,
yeah.
and Deontay Banks is in a battle for starting spot, may play some, but not even guaranteed to be out there against Terry like he has been a lot.
My Terps got to get a little bit better. I agree with you. All right, Max, your final score prediction with a footnote.
Final score prediction, Commanders 24, Giants 18. Chris Rodriguez is the team's leading rusher.
Chris, real quickly, Rodriguez or Bill, who gets more carries Sunday?
I think it's Rodriguez because I'm not even sure if Bill's going to be active.
That's what I've been saying, that there's a chance he might not be active.
I heard you mention that. I mentioned the same thing last week because I started thinking last year, Kev, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't remember a game where they had four running backs.
Well, they only had three on opening day on the roster.
Right, but remember late in the year when Rodriguez was, when the injuries, Rodriguez was on. So to the point, right, they were shuttling back and forth. I don't remember a single game where they had four. So I assume they'll be at three, right? But they could be at four because they can all help with special teams, whereas B-Rob really couldn't. So they could be at four. But if they are at three on Sunday, I think it's Chris Rodriguez over Bill.
Have a great show.
Thanks, Kev.
We will talk, I'm sure, as the weeks unfold here. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, Chris Russell's next. Enjoy the football. Be back Monday with a recap of not only our game, but the entire weekend. Enjoy it.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.